The suspect in Saturday's bombing in New York is in custody. Ahmed Khan Rahami was arrested in New Jersey today after a shootout with police. He was sought in connection with the blast in Chelsea Saturday night, but also in connection with other bombs found in New York and New Jersey. Meantime, in Minnesota, authorities say they are investigating the weekend stabbing of 9 people at a mall as a potential act of terrorism. The suspect in that case was shot and killed by an off-duty police officer at the mall. So let's talk about all of this with Seth Jones, director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at RAND. Seth, welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
So obviously, different cases in terms of what's going on in New York and Minnesota, but what's your initial reaction to what we're seeing?
Well, it's hard right now with the limited available evidence we have to connect all of the dots, but what we do see at least is two things. One is potentially connection between New York and New Jersey, with the same individual, Ahmed Khan Rahami. And second, we do see potentially a broader connection to violent extremist activity in multiple locations. Again, it's not clear whether it's directly connected and there was joint communication, but at least it's individuals that are committed to conducting violent activity, either through pressure cooker type bombs or stabbings in the name of a broader cause.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit more. I mean, just more directly, do you see anything in these cases that may tell you that this is a response to the call by ISIS for lone wolf attacks in the U.S.?
ISIS has been calling for lone wolf attacks, including in its magazine, Dabiq, for a long time. Its tempo has probably increased a little bit. It's also been encouraging on various social media platforms. Again, it's unclear right now the motivations based on what we know of Ahmed Khan Rahami in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area. But it does look like both the actions in Minnesota and the announcement by ISIS suggests that there may be at least in some connection, whether inspired or direct. Still going to require a lot of intelligence collection analysis. But again, I think the New Jersey, New York motivation is still unclear.
Okay. I mean, your point is well taken that we're still early in the investigation here. But I'm wondering, you know, from your perspective, do you see any of this connected to the fact that ISIS seems to be losing territory in places like Iraq and Syria?
It's possible. ISIS has lost territory in, actually even in a broader expanse, has lost territory not just in Iraq and Syria, but in Libya, including parts of Sirte near the Mediterranean coast. It's lost it in Afghanistan. It now only controls a tiny area in Nangarhar province. And they've called for a broader expansion of violence outside of areas where they control territory, so specifically in Europe and in North America. We've seen other groups, when they lose territory, operate this way, where they, in a sense, decline as insurgent groups that control territory and become increasingly active as terrorist groups that start striking civilian targets. The pattern we've seen most recently in Al-Shabaab activity in Somalia, where it's territory declined and then it ramped up activity against its neighbors, including the Kenyans. So it's certainly possible that that's what we're seeing ISIS do now.
So about the actual type of explosives that were used in New York and New Jersey, the pipe bomb blast in a town on the Jersey Shore, and then the unexploded device found in New York on Saturday was a pressure cooker bomb. Now, arguably, those are less sophisticated explosives than, you know, the large explosives that were used, say, in Brussels at the airport there, or, you know, suicide vests that are used elsewhere. So does that tell you anything in terms of who might be doing this in the United States and the vulnerabilities that we have?
Well, look, I mean, these aren't entirely unsophisticated types of attacks. You know, the fact that there was a device that was constructed with a cellular phone as a timer and then Christmas lights as an initiator, I think indicate a slightly higher than average level of competence. The fact that it didn't go off, at least to the degree that that it could have, and the fact that no one was killed, either tells me that, one, that it was somewhat of an incompetent individual in the selection of targets, or two, that there was an active decision not to kill large numbers of people. But I think what all of that likely indicates, and we've seen it in a few historical cases, is that this was probably not a direct involved attack by a group like ISIS. This is the levels of sophistication were medium, but not high the way we saw with much more competent attacks in Paris and Belgium.
Mm. So what are the most important questions that you and folks in your world are asking right now?
Who is this individual? Who was he in contact with? How big is the cell structure? Was he acting alone? And who was he in communication? What were his motivations? Was this someone that was inspired by an extremist ideology like the Islamic State or Al-Qaeda? Was this someone motivated by something else, personal troubles? But it is important at this stage to also begin to unpack the spider web of individuals, if there is one, that were potentially involved in various ways, because that would, you know, if it's just a lone individual, then capturing him means that this is at least partially solved. If it's not, that's a much wider and much more complicated web.
Well, Seth Jones is director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at RAND. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.